Just in, Chopper 5 caught this scene in San Jose. A car plowing into an apartment building, hitting a gas meter and going up in flames. That crash happened this evening on Calmore Court near Callahan Park. Heavy smoke and flames started shooting from the building after the meter was hit. That fire went up all the way to the attic of a two-story apartment building. Luckily, no reports of any injuries. The new school year is starting, and many kids will need a lot more than binders and notebooks when they return to the classroom. KPX5's Max Darrow spoke to health experts of what many students have fallen behind on.
As we head into a new school year, new numbers from the California Department of Public Health reveal more than 1 in 8 kids need to catch up on their routine vaccinations, as many of them fell behind during the pandemic.
The state's DPH isn't referring to COVID-19 vaccines. These are the normal childhood vaccines against tetanus, polio, chickenpox, measles, and more that have been required for kids to go to school for years.
We need to make sure we get our numbers back up so kids can be safe.
Dr. Yvonne Maldonado is a pediatric infectious disease epidemiologist at Stanford.
These vaccines are incredibly effective and safe for our kids.
She says some kids fell behind because they couldn't get to the doctor regularly during the pandemic. However,
we are worried about a certain parts of the country and certain pockets, even in California, where people have just kind of lumped all the vaccines and all the interventions with COVID together with, well, I don't want anything. Nobody can tell me what to do. And that's a real concern.
Maldonado says at 1 in 8 kids needing to get caught up on their vaccines, the vaccination rate is just a bit below the norm, but it's important to get back to normal.
I think we're going to get back up to normal numbers again, but it's going to take a little more work for us to really talk to families, make sure providers can catch up with those kids who didn't get their vaccines during the pandemic.
Her big concern, if more and more kids fall behind rather than catch up,
that we could go back to a time when children are getting sick, hospitalized, and even dying from diseases that we thought were gone from the United States.
In San Francisco, Max Darrow, KPIX 5.
New details this evening in a deadly shooting at a Brentwood gym. Police say one of the two people arrested has been identified as one of the shooters. Gunfire erupted at the 24-hour fitness along Lone Tree Way yesterday after a fight broke out on the basketball court and spilled onto the parking lot. Police say the 17-year-old suspect who was arrested was injured during the shooting. The person who died has been identified as 21-year-old Cesar Arana. We're learning that two people have been arrested in an attempted carjacking that ended in a fatal shooting of an Oakland Uber driver. This all happening near Little Saigon. 19-year-old Major Willis and a juvenile whose name has not been released were arrested earlier this week. 52-year-old Kan Wu Fung was waiting in his car on July 17th when two people approached him and ordered him out of the car before shooting him. Family and supporters of Oakley's Alexis Gabe held a rally today, all to pressure the district attorney to file charges in her murder.
We want justice for Alexis Gabe!
Yeah!
Gabe vanished in January, and police believe she was killed by her ex-boyfriend, Marshall Jones. He died during a confrontation with police in Washington State. In May, police arrested Jones's mother for allegedly aiding and abetting. However, the DA elected not to file charges and her mother was released.
We're here today to let our voice be heard. We want them to do something about it because they've been ignoring us for months now.
Gabe's parents started a petition for the DA to take another look at the case. The DA's office issued a statement to KPX 5 saying, if evidence surfaces that the mother knew her son killed Alexis Gabe and helped him, the DA's office will consider prosecution. However, the office added that there's insufficient evidence to charge her. Let's give you a live look right now at Oracle Park tonight, where Giants fans are mourning the loss of Kristen Coleman after a battle with breast cancer. She is the wife of former star pitcher Tim Lincecum. She was also a principal of Washington Elementary in Burlingame. The school district plans on hosting a celebration of her life later on this year. And the Giants tweeting out this message today, sending their deep condolences to Tim, Kristen's family, and all those whose lives she touched as a friend and a teacher. Tributes are pouring in for actress Anne Heche, the 53-year-old woman who had been declared legally dead but remains on life support for organ donation. She suffered catastrophic brain injury and severe burns 1 week ago after crashing her car into a Los Angeles home that erupted in flames. The Emmy Award-winning actress is best known for starring in the soap opera Another World and films including Volcano and 6 Days seven nights. New at 6, there's growing debate this evening over a bill allowing safe-use drug injection sites to open right here in the Bay Area, and it was just approved by state lawmakers. Supporters say it helps addicts buy time to choose treatment, while opponents call them state-sanctioned drug dens. Earlier today, a group of opponents pushed for Governor Newsom to veto that bill.
But the problem is that the usage is only 5%, but that the facilities themselves have an extraordinary magnet effect. So the population of people caught in the vice of addiction goes up exponentially. And those people are all out in the neighborhoods adjacent to the facility.
Only 5% of users on a regular basis utilize these injection sites. This leaves 95% of users even right either at home or right outside of the doors of these centers.
Supporters in San Francisco spoke to KPXY's Reed Cowan, who has the story of a former addict turned CEO.
So this, keep it above me so I can always remember.
Vidka Eisen keeps this photo of herself above her desk as boss at HealthRight 360. It was the 1980s, and Vidka was
25 years old, injection heroin user, addicted to heroin.
We wanted to see where her story began as she pushes for safe injection sites for people like she used to be. This is where she took us.
This is where it all began.
Yeah, it is.
Treatment Center, Walden House.
Brings back a lot of memories. I was scared and I was like, this place is probably a bunch of BS.
But it wasn't BS, as she says. It was treatment and a lifeline. A lifeline Vidka says people won't get if they're dead from overdose. Vidka says locking people up is a failed approach.
We don't want them to die. We don't want to lock people up because that's failed. That's terrible. So what are we supposed to do? We must reach out and maintain connections with people.
Even if it means giving them a safe space to inject?
Absolutely. Even if it means giving them a safe space to use drugs. Absolutely.
Why are you unapologetic about that?
Because I don't want people to die.
And they are dying. A CBS report cited 700 San Franciscans dead from overdose in 2020. Los Angeles County reported 1,000 overdose deaths in the same time period. Nationally, overdoses exceeded 100,000 in a one-year period.
I get calls from those family members all the time. They'll say, my brother has been out on the streets, he's homeless, he's been using meth, can you help me? Somebody loves them. You may not know their name and you don't know their story, but that person is somebody's beloved child. That person is somebody's beloved sibling. As somebody's beloved parent.
And yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom said he has no comment on a potential decision and has not had time to read that legislation. Well, happening tomorrow, San Francisco's General's monkeypox vaccine clinic will open this weekend for the first time. The schedule change will give people who work during the week a chance to get the shot. A hospital recently received an additional 10,000 doses, and they know the importance of those expanded hours.
It's such a privilege to be able to wait in a line for 8 hours. It sucks, but it's not, most people can't do it.
We want to be as flexible as we can so that people can be here when it's convenient for them.
That clinic will open tomorrow from 8 a.m. till 3 in the afternoon. San Francisco's former police commissioner is throwing his hat into the race for district attorney. John Hamasaki announced his candidacy this afternoon and filed papers to run for office. Right now, he works as a criminal defense attorney at his own law firm. He's known for being outspoken about issues facing the city, especially on Twitter.
I may go toe-to-toe with some people sometimes, but at the end of it, it's generally, we end up in a respectful position. And so, you know, I think it would be good to come into the office, get to know everybody, communicate with staff, hear their concerns, and begin addressing them so they feel supported.
Hamasaki is one of three candidates, including sitting DA Brooke Jenkins, who was appointed to finish Chesa Boudin's term after he was recalled.